The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
If you are passionate about food and how it supports well-being and health, learn more. The Institute for Optimum Nutrition has been training nutritional therapists for 35 years on its highly acclaimed and accredited diploma courses. Start your new career in nutritional therapy, one that will make a difference and help others achieve their health goals. Train with the home of nutritional therapy education. Find us online and give us a call or click on the IOM banner on the UK Health Radio homepage.
Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio, the show that focuses on integrative medicine for cancer, a holistic approach that embraces conventional and complementary and lifestyle medicine. My name's Robin Daly and I'm the founder of the UK charity Yes to Life that helps people with cancer discover the many benefits of integrative medicine. Each week, I host a key figure from the world of integrative medicine, and today's no exception. Dr. Elizabeth Thompson is a well-established practitioner in Bristol who is very proactive in promoting the integrative approach, and I'm keen to know more of the details of her initiatives. I'm speaking to Dr. Thompson over Skype. Hi, Dr. Thompson. You're somebody I've known about for years, but I do believe this is the first time you've actually spoken, and I'm looking forward very much to hearing about your work and all your healthcare initiatives.
Great. Hello, and nice to be able to talk to you. And yes, I've seen Yes to Life over the years and some of the conferences that you've run, so I'm interested to talk.
Marvellous. Okay. So something I know you're definitely keen to say more about today is what's on offer from the NCIM, the National Centre for Integrative Medicine, and I'll be sure to make time for this later, but I just wanted to start out by asking, the NCIM, it offers a training course which is for professionals. Now, these are people who are already highly trained and they're possibly also highly skilled and experienced. Why would they want to consider even more training at the NCIM?
Well, this two-year diploma in integrative medicine is around connecting with everything you already know, but looking forward to supporting a transformation of healthcare, which is much broader. Particularly in the UK, there have been decisions made about what's in and what's out and what's acceptable. But actually, for many of us, particularly if we're challenged with a serious condition, we'll start to look outside the box and find things useful through word of mouth or just through personal experience. And so with the diploma, we're really trying to support healthcare professionals to connect to lifestyle approaches. So it might be supporting people into green spaces or into exercise, or it might be looking at things like acupuncture or homeopathy or Ayurvedic approaches with herbal medicines. So it's about extending knowledge, but also trying at the heart of it to have holistic consulting as the heart, an empowered model, a collaborative model, so that it's much more a dialogue about what that person might feel is the problem, what they feel they need, what they're already connecting to, and to empower through knowledge.
Mm, great, well, that's very clear, thank you. Okay, so a lot of what we'll be talking about today will be to do with integrative medicine, but perhaps you could tell us about yourself first, about your background a bit, what brought you into medicine, your training, your career, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I wanted to be a doctor from about the age of 7. I wrote it in my diary. I've loved being a doctor. I did my first 3 years in Oxford University, and then I went to Guy's Hospital in London. And while I was in London, unfortunately, my brother developed a very serious cancer, and he died a few years later. Now, that's many years ago now, but he had a really tough time. I remember him being on the ward ready for chemotherapy, and the junior doctor came in and said, you know, here are your take-home drugs. And my brother said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, has no one told you you're not having any more chemo? And he was only a 26-year-old young strapping guy, you know. And so I drove him home, and we sat in the kitchen, and he said, do I just die now? So it was very, very tough, because actually what happened is he did just die after a few weeks at home, and it was really tough. And I think that although I didn't understand that at the time, that it kind of created a wound, a great grief in me. But I didn't want other people to be in that situation of despair. I wanted there to be more at that time. So actually, I trained in HIV and AIDS. It was the AIDS ward at that time, before the retrovirals were really coming in. Then I did rheumatology, and then I did oncology, and I really loved oncology, cancer medicine. And then I went to do radiotherapy. And then whilst I was doing radiotherapy, I had an attachment at a hospice. And then I found palliative medicine. And for me, that was very holistic. More time to talk to people, more awareness of death and dying and conversations, the intimacy around that, much better team working, much less hierarchy. The doctors were part of a team. They weren't, too dominant in the team. Mm-hmm. And I guess even when I was in Guy's, I was interested in training in acupuncture. And so as I trained in palliative medicine, I also trained in auricular acupuncture. I was running a pain clinic, and I was also training in homeopathy, which has been a great passion for me, but also neurolinguistic programming and hypnosis. So I guess I was really, for many years now, I've been a holistic doctor. That's what I refer to myself as, mm-hmm. a holistic doctor. And I had to let go of this idea of rescuing people. That was a difficult part of my life, where I had to let go of that need to save everyone and save the world. And actually, whilst I was personally ill, I connected more fully to my general practitioner, to conventional medications, but to a whole host of other approaches, including lifestyle and acupuncture and homeopathy. And that's what, it was everything together that helped me recover. So my personal experience, I think I finally got integrative medicine, which for me is around mutual respect. How do you respect all of the technology and ancient tradition and the nature, natural world that's out there? How do you connect to all of that when you're trying to get well again?
Fantastic. All right. Sounds like quite a journey. It's very interesting, isn't it, the way that hospice care is a kind of parallel universe where something rather different is going on?
Yeah, it is. And actually, over the years, I became a consultant in palliative medicine in 2000. And at that time, there were lots and lots of complementary approaches. And then for about 15 years, there's been a bit of a crackdown, a reduction of many approaches. But I'm glad to say things are really changing. And I saw on your website the lovely medical students from Bristol University, yes, who set up NutriTank and looking at how do doctors train in nutrition. And what I'm really excited about at the moment is it is young healthcare professionals saying, we don't want to do it like that anymore. We want to do it like this. We want to train in yoga. We want to train in nutrition. So I think things are finally shifting, which is exciting. Mm.
Yes, causes for optimism. All right, so what about focusing in on your current work? So would you like to tell us where you're based, what's on offer there, what you're doing now?
Yes, it was about 5 years ago, while still working in the NHS, I set up a centre for integrative medicine. I was very inspired by Andy Weil and my colleagues who'd gone out to do their two-year diploma in Arizona. Mm-hmm. But it was very expensive and very far away, and I had young children at the time. And I always thought it would be great to have an integrative medicine centre in the UK. And so I set it up as a social enterprise. It's a not-for-profit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished my palliative care job, I became one of the consultants at the Bristol Homeopathic Hospital.
Okay.
And I realized that, you know, we needed to do things differently, that homeopathy was really coming under very consistent attack from actually quite a small group of skeptics, but quite a powerful group attached to the media. And at the same time, I was learning more about integrative medicine. We initially set up as the Portland Center for Integrative Medicine, but it is now, we've been very bold and transformed into the National Center. And I have to say that, you know, interviewing for our new diploma, two-year diploma learner group, there's someone from the Lebanon, from Portugal, people from New Zealand are contacting us, British healthcare professionals. So that's one of our education offers. Right. We also train healthcare professionals in medical homeopathy, and we also support professional homeopaths, so that would be lay homeopaths with their continuous professional development.
Right.
And we have a new holistic doctor service where you can have an hour with a qualified doctor to really review your problems, whatever that might be, right across conditions, anything. Also, key to integrative medicine is early warning, you know, looking at things before you get ill, looking at things when your inner wisdom is just saying, do you know what, I'm not right, I've lost balance, I need to relook at things. So spending an hour with a doctor and then connecting to nutrition, craniosacral, homeopathy, cold water swimming. Not that we provide all those services. We provide quite a few mindfulness services, mindfulness for cancer, working with Penny Braun, mindfulness for the menopause. We're just launching in January. And we've got a lovely service, which I love, called Food for Wellbeing. I've learned a huge amount doing it myself, being the holistic doctor. We've got lots of different one-to-one services, courses. We've had writing for well-being, and then we've got education services. So we're really trying to offer quite a lot, and we haven't yet got a physical center. We would love somewhere, and we're just looking at a fairly small space to refurbish. And then we hope to be in the centre itself, in the city centre of Bristol, and allowing people to find us, for it to be accessible, for people to be able to self-refer into it.
And you're still working as a holistic doctor, are you?
Yes, so I have a pretty busy clinical practice, which I love.
Okay.
And because of my background, I mainly specialize in cancer, but actually I see, you know, anyone, they might have chronic fatigue or arthritis or mental health problems or eczema or whatever.
Right.
People can come and see us.
Right, great. So you clearly very much embrace the term integrative medicine, like you've built it into the name of your organization. So this is a step on from the old complementary and alternative medicine categories. Why have you chosen to do this, and what does it signify to you? What are you trying to say to others with this title?
Yeah, so it's the title that Andy Weil used for the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. And for me, he was really clear that integrative medicine is about how do you put together, combine conventional and lifestyle and complementary approaches. So I really like it because it's a model that embraces the and rather than the or.
Right.
You know, either you use conventional medicine or you use alternative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so complementary and alternative medicine try to bring that together, but often juxtaposed or in opposition to conventional medicine. Whereas the message I'm trying to give is that sometimes we need a bit of everything.
Right.
And that I'm really trying to, Sophie Savage gave a beautiful talk at Pennybron, and she talked about lifting the patient out of the crossfire.
Right.
And for me, integrative medicine really does that. When our healthcare professionals are trained in this empowered model, there should be much more curiosity about what people are doing.
Mm.
And people should feel able to discuss what they're doing.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, one of the aspects of integrative medicine that's really striking me more and more recently is the extraordinary potential of actually combining, not just happening to do one and the other because they both happen to be good, but when they're put together, the result is actually spectacularly better than either of them on their own.
Well, for me, I sigh with relief when someone comes wanting to combine it, because, you know, like the chemotherapy is killing cancer cells, but the Iscador might be stimulating your natural killer cells, your own immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Your nutrition, where you're moving away from a pro-inflammatory diet into an anti-inflammatory diet, at the same time as really looking at emotional health. I believe, and I see every day, people who are really living well with cancer, good quality of life.
Right.
Living beyond what might be predicted. And some of the new technologies, by the way, they've made significant differences to many of the patients that I think would have maybe died earlier, and they're living much longer. But they always take a toll on the body, these conventional medicines, and that's why you need a whole recovery package.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much. I mean, this is the notable thing about most of the things that are brought to the table by integrative medicine. In the main, they don't have negative side effects. They're always positive, so they can outweigh some of the baggage, if you like, that comes along with conventional medicine. The things that make it not so positive to use, and therefore, you know, you get a much better result.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things for me developing and then delivering the diploma was putting together lots of different complementary approaches. And what I realized is that often they're whole system approaches. So they see the body as a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
They also see the body as a wise thing. In other words, it's really worth listening to the body, checking in with it,
right,
rather than ignoring it. And so, yes, a lot of these approaches are gentle, you know, they don't have the very strong side effects. And the other key thing is around balancing. So one of the things that underpins a lot of whole system approaches is the idea of regaining balance when you've lost
it. Yes. Yeah, very interesting. I think that's right. Any good definition of integrative medicine includes this kind of wisdom of nature and of the body, doesn't it? That actually,
yes,
the body's,
yeah,
far better at healing itself than anything we can do, but it can be helped in doing that.
Yeah. And also, you know, sometimes the body is triggered into a very difficult place where it needs very strong things to bring it back again.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do bring it back again, and you're using complementary approaches that stimulate and rebalance, then often the body can find its center point more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I often find, you know, that many of my patients who maybe had chemo before they came to me and then came to me and started to use other things, said, I'm so much better, so much stable, energy so much better.
Mm.
And that's because you're supporting the body's natural recovery mechanisms.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's integrative medicine. So there's quite a bunch of other terms around still in common use there, aren't there? I mean, complementary still gets quite a bit of airtime. Alternative medicine is falling into disuse as a term, really, but there's also lifestyle medicine, which you've used already, functional medicine, nutritional science, holistic medicine, quite a plethora of titles that some of them interchange and they overlap. It's all a bit confusing to someone that's new to the territory, I'd say. Do you think they're all useful terms, or do you tend to stick with one or two particular ones?
I'm sticking with integrative medicine now because for me it's, as I say, about bringing things together and allowing choice and diversity. I'm also really interested in things that reduce fear. Mm-hmm. I often suggest that be a guide to people. You know, if you go and see someone and they say, this is the only thing that you do, if you stop doing it or if you don't do it properly enough, then you'll die.
Right.
You know, run a mile, you know?
Yeah.
Because nobody really fully understands cancer or other serious illness. And it's about how to move towards a place where you feel more in charge, where you feel able to make choices, where you feel your team is working with you, and where there's not too much opposition. You know, you see it on both sides. Don't go and see that therapist, it's all mumbo jumbo, or don't use that conventional treatment, it will harm you. I see the story coming from both directions, yeah. And it's very, very confusing for people.
I agree. Yeah, and basically I feel that people are looking for voices of practitioners who are standing where they're standing, which is saying, well, you know, what out of all these things that are out there, whatever label happen to have on them, which of those could be helpful? Which is, that is so much needed, and not this kind of outside advice with a strong agenda of some kind or another.
I think that's right, and I take it as a feedback sign that someone is still very frightened when they're adding more and more treatments. Mm. Where they're searching and searching, and one of the things I've learned is that often the answer is inside. Sometimes we want to go very, very far away, mm-hmm. to the therapist furthest away as some holy grail. And I'm a great believer in organic health, you know, finding people local to you who don't promise you the earth, but who contribute to a team that will give you lots.
I like your description. Yes. There, organic healthcare, local and wholesome.
Yes, exactly. No one person offering you everything. Mm. That's why I think an empowered model is really, really important, just to look at what resources do you need to strengthen yourself and create resilience to deal with this situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just say I come along to you newly diagnosed with, say, an early stage prostate cancer, with a view to working with you over an extended period. Can I ask what your immediate short-term aims might be and what longer-term ones you would have?
Yeah, my short-term aim would be to really try and understand what's going on for you. We use a new patient questionnaire so that people have chance beforehand to get as much down as they would like. But that detail is really, really helpful to me because it means that when the person walks in, I can really open it up to them to talk and let them tell me where they are, what their priorities are, why they're coming. Looking at whether, if somebody, I think you said prostate cancer, is that right?
Yeah.
Looking at, is the problem that some of the treatments are causing side effects like hot flushes or anxiety or, loss of libido? These are the kind of things that I might see someone with. Mm. And then other people may, be saying, I want to live longer. I want to recover more fully. And so really understanding the agenda and where the person is and where they want to get to. Working realistically with people, if they're coming and they've got widespread bony metastases or, secondaries from a prostate cancer, looking at what their expectations are, trying to understand fully what they've been told. So for me, I suppose I'm emphasizing the holistic consultation is really crucial, so right. that we're kind of on the same page together, mm-hmm. and we know roughly what we're going to try and do together.
Right.
And then for some people, they may be wanting to support with chemotherapy. So I'll be looking at, I use something called mistletoe, which I found a very useful agent to support the immune system. But I will also be working to create an individual profile of them as an individual. And I also recommend homeopathic medicines, both for side effects and to help the body's recovery and repair mechanism. And then over time, because it takes a bit of time, that's a lot to do in an hour,
right.
we'll be checking in on diet and lifestyle, emotional health, relationships. But crucially, it's kind of what people bring to me. I actually try and remain quite silent. And one person did say that the phrase, "tell me more," would be written on my gravestone. Which was a great deflection on his part, because it meant that when I wanted to say, "tell me more," I couldn't. I had to wrap it up in a different way. But I guess I'm really interested in the inquiry that helps us understand what the problem is, and yeah. then look at what approaches might help.
Mm, interesting. So you're very much letting the patient set the agenda.
Yes, and you know, not everybody wants that, so but they'll communicate that to me if they want me to be more directive, particularly if they're anxious. Then I will, you know, I'll do that. One of the things I also work very regularly with people is just to engage hopefully, mm. because you know, there are various scripts out there about what happens when you get this or you get that.
Yes.
But the reality is nobody really knows for that individual. So opening up the space, I think, can be really important, and allowing hope to reemerge and fear to fall away a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, so I want to come back to talk a bit more about integrative medicine now. It's been painfully slow to progress in the UK, of course, far slower than in some other countries. So I would say this was nothing to do with a lack of interest or enthusiasm from the public. So why would you say that things have moved so slowly here?
Yes, well, I think Britain is conservative. I think that if we think of a nation, we're very logical. You know, we can hold back and really think about things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a system, the national health system, where people decide what can be funded and what can't be funded. And the evidence base is something that's incredibly difficult to put together properly. I mean, as you know, there are new drugs, they come on the market, and then we realize they're quite dangerous and they have to be stopped.
Mm.
So the idea that the placebo randomized control trial is going to tell you how that drug might work over many years in a big population, you know, it's just not the case. But anyway, the evidence base has been really valued, and obviously I'm a great believer in the evidence base, but I think you have to use it wisely. So the reason I think it's been slow is that because people aren't paying themselves and therefore can choose, they've had to take what's available, and what's available is seen through an extremely conservative lens,
mm.
And through a placebo-controlled trial lens, which is frustrating because, you know, when the evidence mosaic was first put forward about 30 years ago, the idea was that you can get evidence from a case history, you can get evidence from a case series. In other words, a case history is just one experience, but a case series is 10 experiences. But what's happened is those kind of more more personal experiences have been completely excluded, mm-hmm. and only randomized placebo-controlled trials. And of course, doing research is very expensive. So say like for homeopathy, what started to happen is it's really difficult to get funding to do, even if you want to do a high quality trial, it's hard to get funding.
Right.
Mm. So that there are lots of factors playing, but I think that is one of them, is the NHS has had a pot of money and it's had to be divided up. And there are people who, you know, in power who use an evidence-based lens to decide. Mm.
Well, it's interesting you pointed straight away to the kind of model of healthcare, because it's a sort of double-edged sword, because everybody's incredibly enthusiastic about the idea, the concept of the NHS, and few people in this country would want to go over to, say, the American system, insurance-based. They actually feel that the free at the point of delivery model is fantastic, and it's caring, and it's what everybody should be able to access medicine in that way. But the downside you pointed to is that this is this gargantuan machine, which is, we don't really have much say in it like we do when we go along with our dollar and choose medicine in a much more proactive way.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, for a while now, I've noticed that it's really easy to get a pharmaceutical agent, but very difficult to get, for example, counselling or psychological services. Mm. So, you know, and that's all unstated. It's just kind of having an influence on the way doctors prescribe. But it's not, you know, it has started to be talked about, I'm glad to say.
Right.
And the whole social prescribing movement's
yes.
really exciting.
Fantastic.
Prescribe activities rather than drugs.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, green shoots of the right direction appearing for sure. So look, before we get to the end of the show, I promised another stab, a good look at the NCIM. So let's do that. If you could just say, this is your contribution to speeding up the process of moving towards integration. How long ago did you start it? And can we just sort of home in on exactly which courses are available, who they're available to, what people come away with when they finish the course?
Yes, so the National Centre for Integrative Medicine, we've been around for 5 years now. Mm-hmm. If you're a healthcare professional listening who's interested in training in a 2-year diploma, then we're recruiting now for our new year starting in October. And at the end of that 2-year training, you would have an accredited qualification to support you in your practice. We are also now designing one for complementary and alternative medicine practitioners, because we've had so many people contacting us saying, I am a nutritionist, I'm an acupuncturist, and then getting very disappointed when they find out that you have to be a statutory registered healthcare professional.
Right.
So I thought, this is crazy, we need to help everyone gather into the middle space,
yes.
you know,
yes.
and so we're working on that now. If you are a person with an illness, we would love to have public funding, but at the moment you would need to pay to meet with one of our holistic doctors. And it would be £120 for an hour, which we think is the low end of expensive. And we'd recommend 4 visits, 1 hour new and 3 30-minute follow-ups. But you might also want to book in with our nutritionist, who's also a registered cardiology nurse. Or you might want to book in for one of our craniosacral treatments, which are £60 for an hour. What are the one-to-ones? Yes, with our medical homeopathy, we're really fortunate because we've got charitable funding for those on low incomes.
Brilliant.
So if you're someone who you know, money is difficult, then you can book in free of charge to either in our street clinic or our Bath clinic or our Bristol clinic. Mm-hmm. You can just ring our inquiries line. It's all on our website. And you can book in and see a doctor who's also trained in homeopathy. And I also am one of the holistic doctors. So people do pay to see me, but we, as we build, we're hoping to get more charitable funding so that we can support people on low costs. But at the moment, there's a bit of a mix. With our courses, our next Food for Wellbeing course is in January, and that's a 3-week course, and that's a fab course, lots of understanding about practical top tips, about the microbiome, about everything you might need to know about managing stress and understanding stress in your body. We've also got Mindfulness for Cancer, which I'm glad to say is free of charge, coming up in Knowle, the next one. Mm-hmm. And there might be time to book on if people are listening. Otherwise, we've got an exciting new Food for Wellbeing for a Healthy Heart. So if someone's got type 2 diabetes or heart disease or hypertension, again, we've got that funded by Healthy Heart UK and Subway, which is great. But if you do go on our website, you'll be able to see all of these courses and how much they...
Do you want to give us the website address?
Yes, so it's www.ncim.org.uk.
Brilliant. Okay, and a very last word. Looking forward, healthcare in the UK in the 2020s and beyond, how do you see things developing?
I actually think the transformation of healthcare is underway, and I think that we'll see much more personalized healthcare. We'll start to look more at low doses of conventional medicines to reduce side effects by combining them along with nutritional and lifestyle approaches. And I also think that transformation for me is something about a spiritual approach, that people, I think, connect more deeply to themselves, to their emotions and to their thoughts. There's been wonderful mental health highlighted, you know, by Prince Harry and Prince William,
yes,
in ways that we would never have seen 30 years ago. People really opening up about their problems. Mm. So my feeling is that part of the transformation is that we'll just talk more honestly and openly and hopefully be a bit less suppressed and more able to speak our truth.
A loosening up of the British stiff upper lip.
Yes, definitely.
All right, look, we're going to end it there. Thank you very much, Dr. Thompson. I've really enjoyed having you on the SLI show and hearing about all the great things you're doing. Very best of luck with all your initiatives.
Thank you very, very much. Thanks very much, Robin, for the opportunity.
Great to hear about Dr. Thompson's work establishing and developing the NCIM. It's sorely needed. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I'll be back next week with another interview from the world of integrative medicine for cancer for the Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. I hope you'll be able to listen again. Goodbye.